Every Lord's Day is a special day. This particular Lord's Day, something that's kind of noteworthy for my wife and I is we have some friends here that we have not seen in almost 40 years. If you look at Berthelene there, the last time we saw Judy, she was my son Patrick's age. And the last time we saw Leslie, she was about as old as Autumn is. So it's been a little while. And it's noteworthy to me because when I first started preaching, the first house where I attempted to do some home Bible class work was their house. That's a long time ago, and that's a memory that's not likely to ever leave. Now, they are here on a fairly strange morning. We had a gospel meeting this week with Brother Doy Moyer, who did about as good a job as you could possibly do on the subject of authority. And I'm kind of hoping that in the future we just make copies of those lessons and keep them in the track rack so that anybody who wants to pull them out and learn something on that subject will be able to do so. Now, Doy preached that series for us, and technically, Travis is supposed to be here preaching this morning, but he took a vacation week. So today, you get me twice. Now, I will be as brief as I can be this morning and as easy as I can possibly be. It was a great meeting with Doy, but Doy spoke on authority, and he did a wonderful job making it simple, but it's still a pretty deep subject. And you've heard a lot of deep preaching this week, so this morning I'm going to go easy on you. As a matter of fact, you might not even want to consider this a sermon. You might just want to consider this as a report that it is necessary to give. In Acts 14 and verse 27, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things God had done with them and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. After the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey, when he got back to Antioch, they gathered the church together and Paul reported the things that God had done with them. A report. That's what he gave to the church in Antioch, and that's what we are giving this morning. And I'll tell you how this came about. If you remember back to last year, you notice I have 2014 and 2015 written on the board. That's not because I think you can't remember those two numbers. It's because we want to kind of blend these 2 years together for a little while this morning. In 2014, in the first part of the year, we had the men's general business meeting. We have one of those every year where the men of the congregation meet with the elders to discuss the work that takes place here. Now, after the general business meeting in 2014, you will remember that the elders all got up one Sunday morning, and the elders took turns commenting on each of the different aspects of the work that is being done here, and we sort of laid out some things that we wanted to do in the future. Well, this isn't 2014 anymore, it's 2015. Earlier this year, the men of the congregation got together for the general business meeting. And now the elders feel like it would be good to have some words said concerning the 2015 general business meeting. So that is what we are doing this morning. Now, this report won't be quite as detailed as the one last year. We won't have all the elders speaking. We won't have all the charts that we had last year. And we won't even cover all of the same areas. Now, in fact, what we are going to be doing is, like we say, blending these 2 years together, because there was some business that took place in 2014 that kind of carries over into this year and needs to be addressed. There are things that we have to talk about that stretch clear back into last year. So we want to take the information from the general business meeting of 2015 and combine it with what we did last year and kind of weave it into something bigger. And I believe if we do this, it will be beneficial to the congregation for this reason. If you look at the passage that we have on the board, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things God had done with them. The report that the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Antioch concerning their work was a very good report. And I believe where this congregation is concerned, one thing that would truly be useful here is a good report of things that are taking place. I think we need a good report concerning our finances. In the middle of last year, we had developed a brief and small cause for concern. And that small cause for concern was we were running a deficit of about $2,000 a month. Now, some might consider that a big cause for concern, but we don't like to panic. Giving had been off about 10%, and while that's not a major, major catastrophe, it had reached the point where it was affecting the work that we were trying to do. And if you will remember back a few months, we were in a study of the First Corinthian letter, and we'd gotten to the middle of the book, and then suddenly we dropped down to the 16th chapter so that we could talk on the subject of giving. And then we started working backwards. Now, I suggested during that sermon that there was no cause for panic. And again, we repeat, there is never any cause for panic. We have faith in God and we do the things that God wants us to do. But we did suggest that we might need to adjust down a little bit and hopefully raise our giving level if possible. Now, sometimes just making that suggestion is a little bit scary to people. Because we had developed a habit around here, if we thought we needed something, say for instance in our classes, if we wanted something, some tool that we thought would be useful, we just went out and got it. And we never threw money away, if we needed it, we got it. And then suddenly we were in a situation where we needed to stop and think a little bit about whether we could afford some of these things. And that worried people a little bit. And then it also was a little scary because some were afraid that we were going to start cutting back on the preachers that we were supporting. And a lot of people just did not want to see that happen. And I was one of them. Our aim is to support the preaching of the gospel, and we knew that the fellows that we support in other lands were truly dependent on the aid that we were sending to them. Now, if that particular sermon and those ideas concerning our finances troubled you, let me give you some good news. I am not an accountant, but I can read plus and minus. I know that income must exceed outgo. And if you're a young person, remember that. Income must exceed outgo. Spend less money than you're bringing in. That will help you for the remainder of your life. Now, looking at our financial records for the last quarter of 2014, this goes back to last year. Almost while I was preaching that sermon on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, things started to trend upward. And if you're just looking at numbers, in the last quarter of 2014, expenses and income balanced out. And then starting in January of 2015, we started surging ahead to where we are once again running a surplus. Now, once again, the idea behind a surplus is not to hoard money. The idea behind a surplus is to use it to spread the gospel and to do God's work. So as we are surging back into the position where we want to be, we keep in mind that money is not to keep, money is to use. And with that comes a piece of good news that I know everyone will be interested in. We have a former member of this congregation, Laurie Ewing, who now lives in Southern California. She's no longer with us, but she is well acquainted with this work. Sometimes I think her heart is still here. She sent a very large contribution. And that's about all I'll say for that at the moment, but it was an extremely large contribution. And it's been decided by the elders that this money that has been sent is going to go into directly spreading the gospel. Now, with what has been sent, we're going to be able to do some checking in areas that we have not been able to check into. We are going to expand our efforts into other places and in supporting preachers, and there are other countries where the fields are ripe. And as this takes place, I'll personally do a better job of keeping you informed about what's happening. Sometimes when we get the support letters, I know we post them on the web, so I just send them to Travis, he posts them. But every once in a while, we need to stand up and say, this is why we are doing this. Last month, looking at the support letters, we noticed that where Rick is in El Centro, there were two baptisms. In the Philippines, there were 18. So if you wonder why we make efforts in other places, it is because in some of these other places we have ground that is not quite as hard as what we sometimes run into over here. Now, when we say these things about the idea of expanding our work, maybe going to other places, you know, if it worries you, try not to get too worried. Number one, if you were worried about preachers getting cut, that's not going to happen unless we find out that there was some behavioral issue. If you're worried about those being sent out going on some kind of a pleasure trip, it's not that way. We're not going to Paris. You know, we're not going to Canada. We're not going fishing, honest. It just does not work that way. It is always a pleasure to preach the gospel. And again, some of the areas where the soil is most fertile are areas that make the body of the preacher the most uncomfortable. You go places where you drink things you don't want to drink and you eat things you thought you'd never eat in your life. But sometimes these are the kinds of places where one has to go. Anyone who is being sent will be sent to work. In Acts 11 and verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. When the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch, it was for the purpose of working. Anyone that this congregation sends, it will be for the purpose of working. Now, where finances are concerned, it's a good report. We've gotten back to the point where we can maintain the level that we wanted to maintain, and we can actually expand what we are doing. So we have a good report regarding our finances. We have a good report regarding our attendance. For just one moment, everybody turn to Hebrews 10:25. We remind ourselves that this verse is still in the Bible. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's still a fact that the Lord wants His people to attend services. Now, this is not about numbers on a board. It's about service unto God, growth as an individual, and service to our brethren. Not about numbers on a board. Now you might ask, if that's the case, if it's not about numbers on a board, then why do you take count and put it up on the board? In a group this large, it is possible to lose track of individuals. By keeping count, you can see trends that let you know when it is truly necessary to pay closer attention. Now, in 2014, when the preachers got up, not the preachers, but the elders got up to speak that Sunday morning, we said that there were certain goals that we would like to push toward. Averages. We like to average about 280 here on Sunday morning. We like to average 200 on Sunday night, 225 Sunday Bible class, and 185 on Wednesday night. Now we realized when we said it that that was stretching. But if you establish a goal that doesn't stretch you a little bit, it wasn't much of a goal. And so you kind of put it out there where you know you're going to have to work a little bit to get there. Now that was the goal. Here was the reality. This is what happened in 2014 if you're just looking at numbers. Our Sunday morning average was 253, Sunday night 181, Sunday class 212, Wednesday 182. Now that's not bad. Those are good numbers, and particularly when you look at Wednesday night, you look at that and say, man, almost. No cause for panic, but it's still not quite what we hope, so we continue to push ahead to go forward. Now, as far as the good report is concerned, in the last few months, we've had baptisms. We have had people move in with us. We have had several families place membership with us, and we have had a surge in home Bible class activity, and the numbers are heading up. Now, lesson from this. This is what doing the Lord's work often looks like. You know the concept of riding the wave. There are times when you do the work that you feel like everything's up here. And then you hit a little low. You go down into the trough. And when you're in the trough, you think, oh, what's the problem here? And the tendency is to get a little bit jumpy and to panic a little bit. Never panic. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, wherefore be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Pardon me. When you get to the flat spot, when you hit the trough, you keep your nose to the grindstone and you just keep working. We need to demonstrate faith in the idea that it is not all up to us. Sometimes we continue to do the Lord's work and wait till we receive the Lord's blessing, and you head back up again, and you just keep doing the things that you know you need to do. So we've gone in the right direction where finances are concerned. We're on an upswing where attendance is concerned. And that brings us to the 2015 general business meeting, where we talked about really what amounted to worship activities. There are a lot of things in a general business meeting that you don't want to spend a lot of time talking about from the pulpit. Looking back over my notes of what we talked about termites. I'll just let you guess which wall. We talked about termites. We talked about replacing a couple of water fountains. A lot of people were really in favor of that. Talked about carpets and air conditioners and the parking lot. The kind of things that you never notice until they're broken. And you really hope that they're never broken so that you don't have to pay any attention to it. But they do break. And hopefully with deacons, staying fixed is going to be a whole lot easier. Now, in analyzing all that was said in the general business meeting, you look at it and you see that the vast bulk of what was said pertained to the way we carry on our worship activities. At the business meeting, we talked about things like gospel meetings, preachers that we'd like to have in the future, and the format that we use, whether to go Sunday through Wednesday like we did with Doy, or the lectureship that we had a few months back. And by the way, that lectureship format was very popular, in case anybody was wondering. We talked about ushers, the guys that stand at the back, and the work that they do. Song leaders, having a class on how to teach Bible class. And we even talked about things like how to go about making announcements effectively. You might think making announcements is an easy thing to do. To me personally, it's one of the hardest jobs you can have. And it does kind of set the tone for what follows and needs to be done well. These were the kinds of things that we spent the bulk of our time talking about in the last business meeting. Now, someone might say, does that mean that people are dissatisfied with the way that we are carrying on the worship? Not necessarily. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul tells Timothy to essentially train teachers. Brethren, anything you can train somebody to do, you can also train them to do it better. And that's what we are interested in. It's not that we are dissatisfied with what takes place here. We are simply looking for ways to improve the things that we are doing to make the worship service more edifying. Now, when we talk about these things, something we always want to remember. As Doy was talking about authority, and again I'll say he did about as good a job as you can do, he made one point that I thought was particularly memorable. God instructs us what to do in our worship. These are things that are mandated by God and we simply are not going to change. We're going to sing, pray, give, teach, and participate in the Lord's Supper. God instructs us in these areas. Now, if we are doing these things and somebody becomes bored, that's their heart problem. And that's the thing that must be remembered. If we become bored doing what God told us to do, that's our problem. That's not a problem with the scripture, and that's not a problem with our worship. Please turn to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 5, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about the rocky soil, how the seed hit it and immediately it sprang up. Now, what kind of a person does this represent? Drop down to verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. The rocky soil is the type of person that receives it with great joy. He gets all emotional, but it does not last. If your idea of worship is seeking some kind of emotional high, then your worship is self-directed. It is more about pleasing yourself than anything else. And what it boils down to is sometimes people become emotion junkies. And that is not what worship is about. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. In the Hebrews class this morning, Steve alluded to Cain and Abel. And if you're listening close, you might have caught something that is obvious in the text in Genesis. Abel offered his sacrifice and God was pleased. Does it say anything about whether Abel was pleased? Was it about pleasing Abel or was it about pleasing God? Is worship about making ourselves happy or is it about making God happy? In Hebrews 10 and verse 36, for you have need of assurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Brethren, our satisfaction comes from knowing that we have done the will of God. That is our aim. We do God's will and then let the satisfaction seep into us because we know that we did what He told us to do. Our aim is to carry on worship as God ordained and to improve our efforts as best we can. Now, toward this end, there are several training programs that we are planning. We're planning on training ushers. Doing that again. Now, how important could it possibly be to train ushers? Well, if you're a visitor and it's crowded in here and nobody facilitates in you getting a seat, you're going to start off your worship with an unpleasant experience, having to hunt around for a place to be. And if nobody hands you a visitor's card, it's going to be very hard to make any kind of follow-up effort on that visitor. It is a key role. There's more to being an usher than standing at the back and opening a door, letting somebody pass and talking to the other ushers. It is an important job and needs to be done correctly. And we plan on having training in every aspect of our worship, the singing, the praying, the giving, the teaching, and the Lord's Supper. Now, some of this work will be done by deacons. A year ago, we were talking about deacons. Now we have them. Now, I was going to put their names on the board. Couldn't find something to put up there easily. So I'm going to post it in back, or somebody will post it in back so everybody can know what deacon is in charge of what area. Now, you might already know it because you're a computer person. I like hard paper. It will be posted. Now, here's what we have up to this point. We have a good report. We have a good report where our finances are concerned. We are going in the right direction and we have the opportunity to do more. We have a good report where attendance is concerned. Things are trending upward again. And where our worship activities are concerned, this is what we focused on in the last general business meeting. We are not changing the things that we do because they are mandated by God, but we are looking to make them better by training. All in all, it is a good report. It's a reason to be upbeat. It is a reason to renew our zeal. Now, as a matter of fact, you might have to stop and think of it this way. If you look at the congregation and things appear to be trending up, it might mean that it's a good time for me to stop and take a look at me and think about where I fit in. Just because things are looking up for the group doesn't necessarily mean that the individuals have no problems. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 7 and verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. I'm certain that there are those in this audience that are getting rained on right now. I'm certain that there are those in this audience that have the flood in their life and the winds are blowing and hitting them hard. And some of those who are having problems might even trace some of these problems back to this group. The rain and the winds and the flood, well, that might be a brother who doesn't treat me well. Or that might be that I'm having difficulty fitting in. Or it might be some perceived slight against me. It might be not understanding why the elders do the things that they do all the time. But if I see things are going up for the congregation, even though I'm still having some of these problems, how shall I act? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, we read verses 12 through 15. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Even if I'm having trouble as an individual, if I see that things are going in the right direction for a congregation, this is how I shall behave. You'll notice the 13th verse, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. I'm going to walk a straight path, a straight line, so that the limb which is lame shall not be put out of joint. In other words, I'm going to make certain that even though I'm having difficulties, I'm not going to do any harm to anybody else. In the 14th verse, pursue peace with all men. If I see the group moving in the right direction, I'm not going to put any roadblocks in the way. I'm not going to act in such a way as to stir things up unnecessarily. In the 14th verse, not only do I pursue peace, but I pursue sanctification. I'll live a life of holiness that is befitting to the Christian. I'll be less like the world and more like Jesus. And in the 15th verse, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. I will not be a root of bitterness. Picture a weed in the ground. You reach down, you pull the weed, you think it's all gone, but there's a little bit of the root that's still in the ground, just sitting there waiting to spring up. Eventually, you know it will spring up. Now, sometimes as people, we are the same way. Bitterness is like that. Possibly I have been upset over something and it's not sitting there on the surface, but it's ready and waiting to sprout at any time. If things are going in the right direction, we just simply cannot be that way. If we can honestly give a good report concerning the way things are going in the congregation, then even if I'm having trouble, I have to look and I have to say, where do I fit in here? What shall I do? Well, I shall do no harm to other people. I shall pursue peace and pursue sanctification, and I will not be a bitter root that is just waiting to spring up. In Acts 14 and verse 27, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Paul gave a report. It was a good report. It was a report concerning how he had spread the word of God among the Gentiles. Brethren, we have had a good report today, and we want to keep things moving in that direction. Now, the Apostle Paul spread the gospel to the Gentiles, and today we try to spread the gospel to all who are lost. The gospel is good news. It is not just an old story that started 2,000 years ago. It is always new because it always has the power to save. Jesus died for our sins. God raised him from the dead. He is Lord, he is Christ, and he is the Savior. In Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Jesus saves those who are obedient to him. When a man believes in Jesus enough to turn from his sins and confess his faith in Christ, then the obedience of baptism washes away his sins. If you're here today and you desire to be baptized into Christ, or if you're a member of the Lord's church desiring your brethren's prayers, will you come forward as we sing?